within a week of Kippur. And there's a famous question that the Mefarshim asked, which is why on Yom Kippur, why on Rosh Hashanah we don't mention sin? If really Yom Kippur, if really Rosh Hashanah is the first, wow, thank you. Okay, I gave him a lamp. If not, then I'm doing good. So if really Rosh Hashanah is the first of the first two of the 10 days of Tshuva, it doesn't seem like we do any Tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. We're speaking about the Mashiach coming and Malchus Hashem in the world. But we're not actually speaking about doing tshuva. And not only are we not speaking about tshuva, we're even offended by speaking about tshuva. What's this? It says someone wants to come in, but it's a name I don't recognize.
Oh, is the living room on?
Oh, that's.
Oh, wait, I know who that is. The guy who uses it outside. So,
should I turn off the waiting room?
Hmm?
Should I turn off the waiting room so I don't have to keep pressing admit?
So Rosh Hashanah is before Yom Kippur. And the reason why Rosh Hashanah is before Yom Kippur is the first days of the Aser Simei Tshuva. Is that a way of doing that? It does automatically?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. You think it's getting more? Is because it's a mashal mahadav adome. Give a short mashal. Imagine you have a person who is running a certain business, and in his business, he has to answer up to his boss about whether his particular line that he's running is something which is valuable. So it comes the time to reassess, and the whole company are reassessing. And his particular line that he's investing in is one which is not making profit, but also not making a loss. So the manager is not happy with him, and he says, look, the whole reason I've employed you is that you're going to make profit here. I don't want you to just be using all the expenses that you're getting and not making any profit. So he starts coming and he says, you're right, I'm sorry, I'm terrible, I'm worthless, I'm useless, I'm horrendous, you should fire me now. So the boss says, whoa, whoa, calm down, everything's okay, calm down. I didn't come here for you to start crying. No, I know it's terrible, and I have a wife in the furnace, and I'm not doing my job properly. Calm down. I don't want to hear anything about, and I took a trip and I was supposed to be working, and it was the expense of the business, and I was using the company's money. Shush! You're getting yourself in more trouble now. Just be quiet. Everything's going to be okay if you just stay quiet now. So why did you call me in? So he says, I want to see how it's going to be better in the future. So the guy says, oh, I thought you wanted me to like say I was sorry. He says, I wanted to say I was sorry, but I could fire you now. I could do that if you want. But let's look forward. I have a future vision where I'm looking towards the next year, and I believe in you. I believe in you, and I believe that you could have great potential to earn me a lot of money. I know you have it within you. So let's just take a few days. Don't say you're sorry about anything. Just take a few days and just create a vision. Create a plan for the future. And when I see that you have a very clear vision of the future, I can see how you can make me a lot of money. Then we'll describe the past and you can own up and I'll nu you. But everything will be okay then because you have a vision towards the future. So I want to see if you can make me $3 million by the end of the year. So the guy says, how long do I have? So he says, 10 days. $3 million in 10 days? I don't think I can do it. It's impossible. No, calm down. Listen carefully. I didn't say $3 million in 10 days. I said $3 million in a year. But I want the plan within 10 days. If you can give me the plan of how things are going to be different this coming year, that's all I need from you now. Then the $3 million can come over the course of the year. That's okay. The guy thinks to himself, what an amazing boss I have. He's amazing. He's not just coming to beat me up and tell me how I'm worthless. He believes in me, but I better make a plan. Because it's going to come the end of these 10 days. And if I come to him and I say to him, I'm sorry, I'm horrible, I'm terrible, and I do that whole thing again, and he's going to say, you really are pathetic. You did all those terrible things, and you're still just stuck in the past, but you didn't do anything worthwhile. I better put my act together. And I have these 10 days now. So first of all, first 2 days, all I'm going to do is recognize how amazing my boss is, recognize how unbelievable the system I am is in, create a vision for the future of working towards a greater future, a greater ideal. That's what we did for 2 days during Rosh Hashanah. The whole purpose of Rosh Hashanah was declaring Hashem is the Melech, recognizing our vision, recognizing what we're working towards. But now we have to get to work. We have a week left. Just under a week. Now it's already halachically Wednesday. Right? So, and Rosh Hashanah is, sorry, and Yom Kippur is halachically Sunday. So we have less than a week left, and we have to work. We have to show the boss what our plan is. And our plan has to be where we're assessing ourselves, seeing who we are, what strengths HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, where our downfalls are, where our pitfalls are, and how we can present ourselves on Yom Kippur, whereby when we're saying, I'm sorry, it's not just I'm sorry and I'm pathetic. I just do all these terrible things and I'm worthless, so you may as well drop me, Hashem. That's not what we're coming to do on Yom Kippur. But rather, I recognize where I went wrong, but I have a vision towards the future. And here's my plan. And that way, when you stand before Hashem on Yom Kippur and you say, Hashem, this is what I'm preparing to do for the course of the year. I realize my mistakes. I recognize where I went wrong, and I'm not going to do it again. Because look, I have a vision for the future. So I prepared a list of questions here, which everyone can do by themselves in their own time. The Chaya Adam writes that a person should take out time from his regular schedule of learning, even at the expense of his regular learning, during these 10 days, just like you take out time from learning to daven, because that's the mitzvah of the moment, to daven, you also take out time to do tshuva, because that's the mitzvah of the moment, to do tshuva. So, I know no one, when you were in high school, you had so much free time. You were bored with all this extra free time that you had. Suddenly you come to yeshiva and it's not enough time in the day and you're trying to find out how you can have an extra few minutes to do this seder and that seder and squeeze everything in. And then our seriously made tshuva comes and there's no time for tshuva. That's the mitzvah of the day. Put other things on hold. Tell your chavrusa, I need a few days to do tshuva. I'm not suggesting you take all day every day for the next 5 days. But I am suggesting it should be at least an hour a day that you have for the next few days. So when you come to present yourselves before Hashem on Yom Kippur, you're not going to be some pathetic, I did this wrong, I did that wrong, and I have no vision for the future. Rather, you're going to be, I know what I did wrong, I recognize that it was wrong, but I'm not upset about it. I am upset that I did it, but I'm not stuck there. Rather, I have a vision towards the future. So I want to just go through the questions quickly together, just so the questions are clear. If anyone has any specific questions on the questions to clarify them, I'm very happy to address them, so that when you come and sit down and do it yourself over the next couple of days, it will be productive. If anyone wants to jump in and ask anything on it, then you're welcome to. There is an excellent book which is overwhelming in its size called Gateway to Self-Knowledge by Rabbi Zelig Pliskin. If you have specific traits that you know that you want to work on, then I'm recommending going up to the library, getting that book, and then opening to the page of that specific trait that you specifically know you want to work on. And then he has tens of questions there on every trait, which can really give you insight into yourself and then guidelines on how to work on that particular one. These questions that we're asking now are broad ones, general ones, many of them from that same book, but very broad ones, which are useful for everyone. If you know that you have a specific area that you want to work on, it's worthwhile going to that book, Gateway to Self-Knowledge, and then honing in on what you specifically want to work on. Okay. So I introduced it here by saying, start learning when it says Hashem in the third perek. That's where he speaks about the value of doing a cheshbon nefesh and calculating one's own inner world. And that's also worthwhile reading. Okay, so questions 1 and 2. List 3 times when you like yourself most and why, and 3 times when you like yourself least and why. Now the goal behind this, and also the next 2, what are your 5 strongest positive traits? And what do you do specifically to express those traits? And what are your 5 strongest negative traits? The goal here is to get a clear understanding of who you are. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you, and you are specifically alive in this world, it is because you have a unique mission. It's not possible for someone to write a book of how to do tshuva for you. All someone could write is a very, very broad, vague guideline of how to do tshuva. Then you have to go and think, who am I? What way am I unique? And thereby, when I come to do tshuva, what specifically do I need to do tshuva? And the only way you can do that is a self-searching, a soul-searching of yourself, how you're unique. So the three times when you like yourself most will be times when you're proud of yourself, happy with yourself. That will be a building mindset where you'll find your strengths. And those strengths will be guidelines about where you can build and what strengths you have to continue building. And the opposite is also true. When you like yourself least, instead of just being, I'm terrible, rather hone in. And we mentioned this when we spoke about learning, that it's not wise when a person says, when they're learning a sugya, I don't know what's going on here. That's not wise. You can't grow from that phrase. But when you say, I understand the havamina, but I don't understand how the answer actually answers the question, that's fine. That's a wise thing to say. Ah, you're saying I don't understand. Yes, but you're saying it in a way that you can build, that you can now know what to do with it. If someone gets a page like this, and they go, I don't know what they want from me, and you're not going to build from that, because it's just so broad in general, you have no idea how to do it. But then if you say, well, what do you specifically mean? Then you say, I don't know whether it's a one-word answer or whether it's a paragraph. Okay, fine, we can build with it. You know, now you've got clarity on what's unclear. So when you just say, I don't like myself or I hate myself, you're not going to go anywhere with that. It's not going to be building. Or if someone says, I think I'm pretty good all around, like I don't know what I really need to work on, I'm okay. So you can't build with it because it's just too broad. By having three specific times you like yourself most and least, then you already have guidelines. And also your five strongest positive traits. Now again, you can't just say something very general. I wrote an extra question. What do you do specifically to express this trait? The goal of these questions is for a person to break down his guideline to himself. If there's not enough pages, and they send them out on the WhatsApp. Otherwise, you can just work with them. The goal here is that you're going to break yourself down, in a sense, unpack yourself, so you can really get clarity to who you are. Because how can you do tshuva if you don't have a clarity as to who you are, where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are? It's going to be very hard. They'll just come and say, yeah, I know I've done lots of bad things, Hashem, please forgive me. But you won't even feel harata. Because you can't feel harata when you just feel a kind of a broad, vague, cloudy, bad feeling. You can't feel harata on that. It's too general. But when you're able to break it down and you say, I know I have strong points, I know I have weak points. My strength is over here and I'm happy and I can build with that. My weak points are very specifically here and here and here. Now you can build. Now you can work. That's why I wrote that question. What do you specifically do? Then you can break it down and have an understanding of it. And also number five. We're getting a little more specific now. Which specific negative trait causes you the most difficulties? The goal of this page is in order to guide toward taking on a Kabbalah, which we'll probably speak about next time. How to take on a Kabbalah, how to take on a resolution. So therefore, question number five, the goal there was, hone in on one specific, and I'm not talking about a deed, rather a trait. It's likely that any bad thing a person does emanates from a trait that they have, a particular midah they have. And therefore, try and hone in on what specific, you've already written five general ones, now try and, from that list of five, hone in on which one is really the one that's bothering you the most. Okay, that was the end of one section. Oh, sorry, one more on that section, number six. Are your negative traits based on, and there's two different ends here of a spectrum, the one end is arrogance, conceit, and power, and the other end is inferiority or discouragement. I just want to explain what that is. A person who has a healthy balance of himself is someone who's in tune with who he is. He doesn't need to prove anything. He doesn't need to impose himself. He doesn't need to do anything wrong in order to feel worthwhile. Someone who's out of sync with who he is goes in one of two directions. Either he goes to the place of, since I'm not secure so much in myself, I need to forcefully make myself secure and prove to everyone else and to myself how I am secure and how I am good. And if you don't agree with me, then I'll hit you. And that leads to arrogance, conceit, and power seeking. That's one direction that a person could take. That would be a super over-ego in a negative place. That's one unhealthy direction. And then all bad things can come from that. Another person with the same issue, per se, but took it to a different direction, is the schmatter, where he doesn't feel that he's good in who he is, doesn't feel worthy, and therefore he goes to the other direction of, I'm worthless, and he feels discouraged, and he feels depressed, and he doesn't achieve, and he complains, and everything is horrible, and everyone did everything else to me, which is why I am who I am. That's the way that he goes. So if you find that you have any particular negative trait, try and identify which way you've gone, which defense mechanism, that's a good way of saying it, which defense mechanism you're using to try and feel balanced. And when you have awareness of which direction you are, and you realize, really, I'm fine, just I'm a bit off sync, and I'm using a method which is unhealthy to try and protect myself, then you already have a guideline of how to get back to being healthy again. That's question number 6, is an important question. Most people can immediately identify which way they've gone. Okay, now from number 7, we're going on a different track. I'm trying to get more specific as far as the yeshiva day is concerned, but again, it's quite broad. And then we'll try and get more specific. Number 7, what are your ultimate goals in learning Torah? And again, as we've spoken about many times, there's two opposite ends of a spectrum which you need to hold on to both ends. On the one hand, you have to have vision, mission. I'm part of something much greater. But on the other hand, you also have to have, what are the small practical steps that I'm taking within that vision? And we always need both of those ends. We've spoken about this many times. If you only have the details, do this, do that, then you don't feel you're worthy because you're not part of anything great. What am I accomplishing? What am I building? But if you're only stuck in the clouds and I'm amazing, I'm doing these awesome things and I'm floating, then you're not grounded and you won't actually accomplish anything valuable. So therefore, question number 7 and 8 work together. First of all, lay down, what are your goals? What are your goals in learning Torah? I'm not talking about your goals in the next week or two. I'm talking about look long term. Look age 30, 40, 50. Why am I learning? What are my goals in learning? I want both the motivation and the philosophy, as well as, let's get more practical. Number 8, in what ways can you increase the quality of your Torah knowledge? Okay, what am I doing now? Is it working? Meaning, once you've painted your vision, you've created your philosophy, you've given your ideal and your mission of your learning, then, okay, what am I doing now? Is it working? Is it building me towards that? Is there any steps that I could take now in order to increase working towards that goal? That's question number 8. Okay, number 9, and this is more of a perspective, which is going to affect character traits. Do you focus on what goes right in the day or what goes wrong in the day? And I didn't write this, but I'm adding now and give examples. What's your orientation? Now, either way could be good or not good. If you focus on what's right, then overall that's good. That's going to be positive. But on the other hand, a person could then have this happy-go-lucky, easy-going, but then not really caring about improving mindset. They have to be careful on that end. Or you focus on what goes wrong, then there's the extreme, which is where a person beats themselves up. But there's a healthy area of it, which is where you're looking to improve. So you have to find where you are in that balance. Obviously, the healthy place to be is where you do look at what's good, you look at what's right, you look for the positive, but you're also sensitive to when there's what that needs to be improved. You're sensitive to it to be improved, but now we're not looking for the ideal here, we're looking for where are you holding in that topic. That just gives you a recognition of it. Similar question. When you make a mistake or recognize a fault, do you berate yourself or do you view how to learn, how can I grow from this? And now we're moving from Torah learning and from perspective onto davening. Number 11, how would you rate your level of concentration during davening? And don't just give a 1 to 10, but rather elaborate on it a little bit. Like, how is your kavana during davening? If you could be very open and no one else is listening to you now, between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do you enjoy davening? Do you look forward to davening? How is it going? Is it building? Where are you going with your davening? Is it something which you have a project in? How would you rate it? And then, with the assumption that whatever your answer is, however good your answer is, there's always room to improve, then what do you stand to lose from praying out of rote? Which is unfortunately something which many people do, if not always, sometimes. They just kind of press the button at the beginning of davening and then press the off button at the end. Then what do you stand to lose from that? What could you gain from increasing your davening? And then also practical step again, what would enable you to pray with greater concentration? That's causing the mind to think, lamaisa, what next step can I take? Let's be practical here. Okay, going back to middos, character traits. Number 14, In which situations do you tend to get angry or annoyed? And what harm or pain does this cause? Now, there are different levels. Some people, when they get angry and it's like very obvious to other people. Some people, when they get angry or annoyed, it's not obvious to other people, but they know within themselves that it works them up. And there could be different levels of how it's expressed. But what harm or pain does this cause you? That's a negative one. Now, a positive one. What is your motivation for doing good deeds? And I gave a few examples of what could one could be doing it for. Number 16, what are you enthusiastic about? Most people have an area, now it doesn't have to be Torah per se, it could be other. But is there anything in the world that you get really excited about? It could be other things outside of Torah too. But like, start to notice. A person's chiyus, his vitality, comes from what motivates him. So recognize where you have motivation. Recognize that you have motivation. Recognize what your motivation is directed currently towards. That's already a tool towards building in your Avodas Hashem. The fact that you know you do have motivation, and then paying attention, right now my motivation is channeled in a certain area, that's already a good recognition. What would you like to be enthusiastic about? I mean, create a vision for yourself. I know I have Ratzon, I know I have motivation, that's good, Baruch Hashem, it's over there, but right now it's over there. That's not the best place for it to be. Where would I like to aim my motivation towards? Write that out in a paragraph or two. List 5 mitzvah experiences in which you felt joy. We're building the positive connection between you and Avodas Hashem now. So think in your past. It could be recent past. It could be a year or two ago. Think of 5 situations. It could be all the same mitzvah, but just 5 different scenarios where you were involved in a mitzvah and you really felt that you enjoyed it. And then write those stories out. Write them out. Write the case. Write that you reconnecting to goodness. It's you reconnecting to Hashem. By writing out that my emotions are connected to Hashem. By writing out those stories, you'll stand before Hashem Yom Kippur, and you'll say, Hashem, I love you, and I love mitzvahs, and I love Torah. And look, here's someone. I'm a person who connects to mitzvahs, connects to Torah. By having written out those 5 stories, and searching for them, and writing them out, you'll reconnect to that emotion, and you'll be standing before Hashem in a better place. And then we're getting much more Lamaisa, 18, 19, 20, of guiding towards what we're going to speak about next time. What changes in your behavior or personality do you wish to make? Now this could be a long list. It doesn't have to be one specific area. This could be even not so lamaisa. But just write it out. And this, I would even say, like, take a good time on this one question and just write out a vision of your ideal self. Take time. Take a page, 2 pages, 3 pages. Go through your daily schedule. Go through your relationships with your family, with your friends. How are you as a child? How are you as a sibling? How are you as a chavrusa? How are you as a friend? Write it all out. Write out in length what vision do you have of your ideal self, and then incorporated in that obviously is that what changes in your behavior or your personality have come as a result of you creating this vision of your ideal self. And be realistic. I mean, don't try and create a picture of someone that's not you. Be realistic to who you are, but if you were at your best self, you who you are with your traits, with your limitations, with your strengths, with who you are, but when you're leading your life at your best, and you can envision yourself at your best state, then how would that look? Write that out, and then obviously what would need to be changed who you are currently in order to do that. Question number 19. Describe how your life would be improved if you would make those changes. And once you've written out that vision, how is your life better than it is now? Write that out. This is an exercise which takes time. A few hours. You have a few hours between now.